This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is this really happening? That is my opening question. Is this really happening? We had the President of the United States basically hop on the lap of Vladimir Putin. Do we still have, is Jeff Dunham one of those, Carter, where it's kind of the whole ventriloquist, where you sit there and you got the little puppet, and then you kind of, how you doing? You kind of talk out of your mouth. That's borderline what Donald Trump just did. All-time embarrassing moment in the history of the United States. Let's go with that. It's my hot take. Simple question by a reporter. Do you believe Vladimir Putin, thug, KGB, this is now what we're just, this is not the question, but I'll just add, thug, KGB agent, murderer, poisons people, ostracize people, journalists vanish. Do you believe that guy? Or do you believe your own intelligence people? And he can't even answer it. He can't. He has to pivot back to the servers and the emails. This show, by the way, no apologist for Hillary Clinton. Didn't believe her. Didn't agree with her when she picked out the emails that she destroyed. Fraudulent. Didn't vote for her. The President of the United States cannot decide who he believes, Vladimir Putin, or all the intelligence people who are confirming Russia's involvement. That's separate from did the campaign collude with Russia. That has not been proven yet. May never be proven. Maybe it didn't happen. I'm starting to think they weren't competent enough to pull it off. But guess what? They were competent enough to win. How can supporters of Donald Trump, and there are tens of millions, he won well over 300 general in the election, in the electoral college, as he tells us endlessly. So the man has the support of, depending upon the polls, upper 30s at the worst, maybe low 50s at the best. And today, your guy went to the fetal position with Vladimir Putin right there. And now Vlad's got these ideas on us working. Have Mueller come over to Russia. We'll come over there. As soon as the president said, and Vladimir Putin has a good idea, all of us should have went, what is he talking about? This is really happening where Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. All going to the fire, Mr. I'd love to punch him, I'd love to stand up, cannot with this thug right next to him say which one he trusts. Now, I'm old enough that my father used to bring me to wrestling, AWA wrestling. Adam, do you remember the AWA?
Of course.
There used to be, oh, fabulous, Major Garrett is going to join us from Helsinki. That's excellent. Great job. Where you used to have the star, like Nick Bockwinkel would come out, Vern Gagne would come out, Billy Robinson would come out, and they'd fight one or two guys at times when it was the TV match. The capable Kenny J or Scrap Iron George Gadaski. And it was just an unbelievable mismatch. That's what today was. Vladimir Putin is Nick Bockwinkel, and Donald Trump is the capable Kenny J. It was pathetic. Text away, call, defend your guy. Let's go. Bring it on, because I got plenty more to say. 651-989-9226. Text away. 81807. A lot of good stuff today, including our guy, Major Garrett, from the scene. We can't call it a summit. The conversation. That's coming up in about 25 minutes. All right, Lindsay was working feverishly in the background, so she didn't have a chance to consume as much as we did, but she did. But, Adam, you were watching and listening the entire time, and I'll say I'm glad that the president met. I want to have conversations between our president and the Russian president. So I was not with the Democrats who wanted this called off after the indictments, and the timing of that was not a coincidence, by the way. No way that was coincidence. That was, what does that tell you about the faith that some people have in the stable genius that while he's getting ready to meet with Vladimir Putin, that the indictments come out from top Russian agents. So again, there's literally no chance that Vladimir Putin didn't know about it, didn't orchestrate, and didn't direct this. So when you're consuming all of it, sir,
it was astonishing to me that, again, and it basically drew the line of a tweet I saw this week and said, if you believe Vladimir Putin over numerous American intelligence agencies, I don't know what more to say. I mean, I really, honestly, a lot of supporters of this guy say, you know, that it's all about America first and you don't love America. Right. We love America. We're the patriots.
Yes.
And you're going to side with the Russian president over 17 federal agencies. I don't know what to say. I mean,
his own guys came in, his own people, Dan Coats, who he just appointed the other day, saying blinking right. red light about what Russia's up to now.
I mean, we got excuse making already. Is he supposed to admonish him right in front of him? Yeah.
Yes.
We'll certainly come out with it stronger than whatever he came out with, which was absolutely ridiculous. And it was an astonishing moment. And a sad and depressing moment for this country. And I'm sorry. You haters come at me. The Trump voters come at me. They will, you know.
Yeah. By the way,
I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
I was going to say, the two people who are talking right now.
I thought she was like you.
I hate to say, both voted for Republicans. Okay, so just let's try. So what's the gentleman's name again? John Hinderaker? How do we say his name? Powerline guy.
I think so,
Hinderaker. Okay, he's been on a couple times the last couple weeks, filling in for Esme, and I heard plenty of him the other day, and he raises interesting topics. His site, the guy who's on our station, by the way, this liberal bastion, by the way, when the facts don't match up with that either, this is the guy who's got on his site, why did Democrats hate America? Why did Democrats hate America? Disagree all you want. Believe in less taxes, less regulations. I used to say free trade being as a Republican idea, but that's no longer. But in other words, if you don't, Democrats hate America. Yeah. That's what the guy's putting out there, right? And then we're giving him a platform here, by the way. When you don't have the backbone to stand up to a thug KGB agent who admitted he wanted you to win.
Exactly.
Admitted.
That's another,
right there.
That can't be glossed over either.
He admitted he wanted you to win. And we're talking about Republicans and how they love America? I don't question anybody's love for America. Powerline should be embarrassed for a story like that, but it just gets propped up, including, by the way, on this radio station. But if Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or another Democrat was sitting there and couldn't decide if he or she believed Vladimir Putin or American intelligence, all the different agencies, what would be going on right now? You hit America.
Oh, my God.
But we got this guy, and guess what's going to happen now? It's going to be the lipstick on the pig nonsense where the Republicans are going to contort themselves into somehow justifying this. They're going to run and hide because closed circuit, We have reached out to people who are on this show a lot. Jason Lewis, Tom Emmer, Eric Paulson, to see what they want to say today. Because it's a layup to have the Democrats criticize Trump today. I want to hear Republicans defend what he did today. And again, I'm all for meeting. But this...
And you can actually make a case for, okay, you know, the criticism I thought, too, on the Glore interview where he says the EU is a foe. I thought that was overblown.
If you listen to the whole answer,
exactly.
I'm with you 100%.
It's overblown. And if you want to say, look, he is negotiating with the European Union and, yes, using Russia as leverage against that, even though some might cringe at that and say, ooh, that's a little dirt. I'm actually there. I'm okay. You know, let's get some better deals, better trade.
The rhetoric, I wouldn't go nearly as far as him. But that's
who
he is.
If you're standing up next to him and you give a pass, and the sad thing, and as I was thinking of this driving in on the train this morning, and just about how
you were driving the train,
I wasn't driving.
Oh,
I don't think I was.
Yeah,
but about how I was just because
why you hate America?
There's just no way. I mean, even if he comes out and with a strong statement against it, there is no way that there is going to be the confidence built up in this election system. Because in November, I mean, we're 6 months away from it or whatever, not even like 4 months away from the November elections.
Yeah.
And how's the confidence in the election system going to be
when
the one
question.
Side doesn't get, when we wake up the day on Wednesday morning and realize,
hey, they're willing to come over and help.
Either
I don't know what you're talking
about.
The blue
wave or the red tsunami, whatever it is,
yeah.
didn't happen. You think people are just going to accept those results and move on?
What are we doing to stop Russia now? Okay. Even if you want to say, and you just want to stick your head in the sand, and that all of our intelligence, because here's the other one I hear. Well, we're wrong on, our intelligence was wrong on Iraq. So we could be wrong again. We were wrong on Iraq, 100%. It's not perfect. They'll be wrong again. It has been agency after agency after agency. If they have a shred of objectivity saying there's no doubt Russia did this. Not no doubt that the Trump campaign was colluding. There might be no collusion. By the way, the Obama administration, they didn't come close to doing enough. And they were in a tough spot. But you know what? When they reached out to Mitch McConnell and others and they wouldn't do it, have a damn press conference. Call it out. Have all the top intelligence people, and Obama deserves plenty of heat
100%.
For being feckless on this.
100%.
About saying to Medvedev, calm down, I got another election.
Yeah.
He was way too soft on Putin. But this guy now, when Donald Trump, then I'm going to pause and take some calls. When Donald Trump says, Adam, all I can do is ask. I mean, what else can I do? All I can do is ask. Are you kidding me? You have the greatest access to facts that anybody on the planet, and then you offer up these things called even stronger sanctions. But it can't be, all I can do is ask. Okay. 81-807-651-989-9226. Text and calls when we come back. Major Garrett from Helsinki. The site of the Putin-Trump meeting in less than 10 minutes. Phone calls and texts for the next 5-6 minutes. Jim is in Hector. Jim, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I am calling in to, I tell you, I do see evidence of collusion. Hillary selling uranium to the Russians, literally arming the Russians, besides all the other security risks she created and the laws she broke. She actually should have been in prison and should be in prison. And that was our second choice for president. I'm really appreciative of President Trump. He's doing things that fake news has said would never be able to be done.
What were those? Give me that fake news
bringing down what was it? Unemployment. New jobs. President Obama.
Jim, let me ask you a question. I ask you. So the economy is good. I've stated that many, many times. But let me ask you this: when the economy was not quite as good, because it's even better under President Trump, there's no doubt about that. when the unemployment numbers were about 4.4, 4.6 under President Obama. Donald Trump told us those numbers were fake all the time, said the actual unemployment numbers were closer to 30, 40%. And I'm very glad that the economy is doing well. I want our country to flourish. But tell me why those numbers were fake then and they're real now.
Can I ask you why?
No, I asked you a question. Jim, I asked you a question. Hillary Clinton, the uranium one? Hold on.
I'll answer that.
I'm going to answer the uranium one. I'm going to put you on hold so I can get to my point, and I'm going to bring you back up. The uranium one, fair question. I didn't vote for Hillary. I said she lies. I said there should have been a better candidate. I then voted for a Republican. I did not vote for Hillary Clinton. I don't want Hillary Clinton to come back. I thought she ran a terrible campaign. So now you go, Jim. I want to give you a chance to talk.
But like I say, they're looking for this Russian collusion. They're coming up with nothing. But yet what Hillary did, you'd never hear much of that brought up as far as collusion. That is collusion. And there's a lot of people that are all upset that Hillary didn't get elected. I dread the thought of if Hillary would have been elected with what this country would be as far as illegal aliens and just a lot of open borders and all these things.
How about today? What did you think of the president today? When he is asked this question, and I'll let you go, Jim, and I appreciate you calling in. When he is asked the question, who do you believe, Vladimir Putin, KGB operative, thug, murderer, or our intelligence people, his intelligence people, not the Obama folks, his intelligence people, and he isn't certain, what did you think of that answer?
I thought we're seeing that a lot of people high up in high places, FBI, there's a lot of questionable things where they're very partisan. They are against him, and we're against him. So
you're uncertain also.
For one thing, I don't trust anybody.
All right.
We see the proof in the pudding. And that's
got it. Thanks, Jim. I got to jump in. I appreciate
you
calling
in.
Thank you
so much.
Dan's in Richfield. Dan, you're on.
Chad, it's a noble thing that you let people that disagree with you talk. I mean, thanks for it. That was great. I think that I lost my train of thought here.
That's okay.
Hang on. Just give me one second. I think Trump might be using it as a bargaining tool to remove the mullahs from Iran. Now, if he makes an enemy of Putin and scolds him or whatever, threatens him, which would probably be very unwise, he doesn't have a partner to overthrow the mullahs of Iran, to correct the things in Syria, to be an ally against North Korea, to shut him down, and China. You see what I'm saying?
I see part of it. I see part of it, Dan. There are areas. But when you attack U.S. democracy in a specific, direct way, such as Vladimir Putin organized, you have to continue to respond, including when you're right next to him. And I just thought it was embarrassing today.
I would
offer up stronger sanctions. I wouldn't blink if I was asked, who do I believe? My own, this because these are President Trump, his own people, or Vladimir Putin, I would say my people every single time. I got to go, Dan.
Yeah,
you call in because I got to get to Major Garrett. I appreciate
it.
We'll take more calls. We'll get more of the texts all throughout the day. But Major is going to join us from Helsinki in 4 minutes on CCO. The best in the business joins us from the scene of a rather momentous day involving Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. The great Major Garrett is kind enough to join us from Helsinki. Thank you on an extraordinarily busy day for joining us. You have witnessed a lot in your career. Tell me how this one, how you are taking the events in of today in after a press conference that is getting just a great deal of conversation running rampant throughout the country.
Yeah, a great deal of conversation and for a lot of different reasons. So it's been a hectic couple of months on the Trump beat. The Singapore summit and everything around that was in every true sense historic and amazing and kind of eye-popping. An American president dealing with a dictator from North Korea, 8 handshakes in 5 hours, an extraordinary press conference in Singapore preceded by the playing of an American propaganda video extolling the possibilities of cooperation with North Korea. That was pretty mind-blowing.
Yes.
In very many, many ways. And then to be here in Helsinki and having come here from Brussels, I wasn't in London. My travel arrangements wouldn't allow me to. But coming from what can only be described as an anxious NATO meeting in Brussels and interacting with a lot of very anxious NATO ministers and diplomats, to come here and see President Trump not only be so friendly and cordial, but borderline deferential to Vladimir Putin and deferential on a key and proximate topic of the American democracy in relationship to malicious Russian activity.
Yep.
That's obviously the big headline in America. It's going to be the subject of conversation for a long time. And you may be asking me to try to explain this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it, but I can give you what I think is quite clearly a context that is a blind spot. For whatever reason, President Trump will not, I'm not saying he cannot, because any human being can do what I'm about to describe, but will not decouple election meddling from you're an illegitimate president.
Yes.
He conflates and combines the two relentlessly. And when he hears someone say Russian meddling, what he hears them also saying, even though they don't say it, is you're an illegitimate president.
Right.
And he can and is the illegitimately elected president of the United States, and Russia meddled maliciously in the election. Both things are true and can be decoupled. And he can say, you know what? I had a great campaign. We won. We surprised mm-hmm. everyone. And these malicious actors tried to sow division, discord, and confusion in our democracy. And that's bad. And I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to stop it. He can do those things. That he won't, I think, tells everyone with a fair appraisal that this is a blind spot, that he's not working very hard to, A, remove that blind spot or do things that any American president ought to be expected to do on behalf of protecting the American democratic system that we know and cherish.
Major Garrett's book will come out later this fall. Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, The Thrills, Chills, Screams, and Occasional Blackouts. Major's book on the first part of the Trump administration. I got a feeling he's working on the second part as we're speaking right now. You are a student of history. Put this in perspective. When the president of our country and the president of Russia are meeting on foreign soil, and the president is asked a question, do you believe Vladimir Putin, let's just be honest, he is a KGB agent, he's a thug, he's a murderer, he's an enemy of our country. Do you believe Vladimir Putin when he says, I had nothing to do with the U.S. election, or do you believe our intelligence, his own intelligence, and then he goes into the answer that you just laid out where he cannot separate the two? I'm just trying to understand something that's comparable in our history to what just happened.
I can't think of one. I really can't. Because even when there has been detente, meaning during the Cold War, efforts of American presidents to achieve agreements with the Soviets on arms control, or Nixon's trip to China, there was a structure, there was a context, there was an initiative, there was a sense of, look, we don't agree, we don't like, we don't share the values or the ideology, but we must find a way to minimize tensions. There were those in the country at the time who thought any of those actions in one way or another amounted to appeasement or a weakening of America. But at least there was a construct, a diplomatic team, an initiative, and a means by which American values were projected into a contested and ideologically hostile space and stood on their own. When the institutions of our country, and by that I mean the Justice Department through last Friday's indictments,
yep,
and the director of national intelligence, nominated by President Trump.
Correct.
Confirmed by his former fellow Republican colleagues in the Senate, Dan Coats, says,
highly
as he
respected
did in France. Yeah, as he said in France just a week ago, talking, by the way, to the Tocqueville Society, Russia is a malignant actor. It is maliciously involved in our 2018 election process, and it was absolutely involved in the 2016. And guess what? Meddled in Britain, meddled in France, meddled in Norway, and elsewhere. And called them to account publicly. And for the president to, in his own words, act as if Dan Coats was someone who might have kind of an idea about something in America, but he wasn't quite sure. That's his guy.
Yes. Right.
That's his guy, yeah, representing his own institution. So when you take the weight of American institutions, Justice Department, National Intelligence, and diminish them in relationship to a known adversary, a known enemy, I can't think of anything in my experience that's comparable.
I've already had a chance, whether through Twitter or interviews, to hear John Brennan, James Clapper come out and be very, very critical of what the president had to say. And a lot of the Trump voters will say, of course, they were in the Obama administration. It's time for them to exit the stage, move on, as opposed to just acknowledging they have been patriots and they have served our country for decades. But if you want to put their partisanship, if you want to affix that to them, I disagree, but let's just acknowledge that some people believe that. Do you expect anything from President Trump's top intelligence people at so many levels to in some way major say, enough is enough? We've presented the commander-in-chief with this information. He just tosses it like refuse, and I'm not going to stand for it anymore.
You know, it's a good question. I would have to think there has to be some soul searching going on with Dan Coats and those who work around him at the particular moment, because not only was he not given the due respect and legitimacy that an American president ought to, he was diminished in a way that can't be helpful and is only injurious to his future credibility. But you were kind enough to mention my book, and one of the things I address very early in my book is this very searing conversation and debate that goes on within people who work for the president and people who used to work for the president.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like this. There are things about him that wear me down. There are things about him that frustrate me. There are things about him that sometimes I find borderline intolerable. But I need to stay. I need to stay because the people elected him. I need to stay because the country needs steady hands around the president. And I need to stay for the greater good of the institutions. And there are many Republicans who won't come into this administration at all under any circumstances because they're never Trumpers or they just can't stand the idea or the concept. And those who are inside look at those Republicans and say, if you would come in, you could help.
Yeah.
If you would get over him and understand that he's the duly elected president, he needs help, he needs your help, institutions need your help. My point in the book is not to come to a grand conclusion about this and to say who's right or who's wrong or even ascribe all the blame to President Trump. I just illustrate and point out that this is a conversation that really has never gone on at this level and at this depth in American political history.
Major's book is Mr. Trump's Wild Ride. It's coming out in September of this year. I also encourage you to listen to his podcast, The Takeout. I listen to it every week. I'm looking at it on my podcast right now. It's a great listen. Some more history here. Just talk about how rare it is that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin met for over 2 hours one-on-one just with translators and no other members of their team present.
Yeah, it's very unusual, highly, highly unusual, but not for President Trump.
Yeah, right.
He did that with Xi Jinping at Mar-a-Lago. He did that with Kim Jong-un for a period of time. That's what he prefers. He has this, and I said this on CBS this morning, he has this bottomless sense of confidence about his ability to take stock of people one-on-one. And he believes the relationships he forges and the confidence he projects, not having anyone with him, anyone to mind him gives him an either actual or implied advantage. Whether that's true or not, I'm not going to speculate. That he believes it's true, I know to be true. And he loves the projection of himself coming in there by himself. I can handle this. I've got it. You can't run circles around me. You're going to deal with me head on. I'm going to deal with you head on. And we'll always have that first head-on session, one-on-one, and that confidence building as the foundation for every conversation we have going forward. That's what he likes. That is his distinct preference. And no one can talk him out of it. So that's what comes with the Trump approach to diplomacy and interaction. It just does. And I don't know what came of that 2 hours.
Yep.
And we may never know what came of that 2 hours. But I do know, having gotten to know President Trump somewhat well, he believes in his ability to take the measure of people in his own way without any filters. And that's how he approaches life, and that's how he approaches personal interactions. And he also believes it projects, if not a supreme degree of self-confidence, a high degree of self-confidence. And just as a contextual point on all this, it's not as if he walked into that room as some weakling up against Putin. He has taken some actions that have gotten Russia's attention
right.
in a very big
yes.
way.
Yep.
64 diplomats expelled after the UK citizen, former Russian spy, was attacked by the nerve agent. Authorizing shipments, export of liquefied natural gas to Europe. It's not all full up and running yet, but it's going to happen, and it will become a counterweight to Russian natural gas supplies in Europe. Authorizing the sale and provision of lethal weapons to Ukraine so they have them in the future should they need them. Obama didn't do either of those last two things,
right.
even though he was urged to by many in his own administration. So it's not as if Trump walked in as some total patsy on some issues that Putin cares about and didn't get what he wanted from Trump on. And I want to point that out. I don't want to leave people with the impression that he arrived as a weakling and left as a weakling. He didn't. And there's no evidence that he offered any concessions on any other hot-button topic. A lot of platitudes in that press conference other than the question of intelligence sharing and Russian meddling. So I do want to offer that other perspective because it's important and it's part of this whole story.
Last question, and I'll let you go. And I appreciate all the gifts you're bringing back from Helsinki for me.
Oh, lots of crystals for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Take me through the timing of the announcement of the indictments last Friday, when days ahead the president is going to meet with Vladimir Putin. This wasn't a mere coincidence. Who orchestrated that? And how should the president have reacted to that?
Well, I don't know the TikTok. I was in Brussels at the time. But I do know from Rod Rosenstein's press conference that he briefed the president several days in advance. The president knew it was coming. And I had a sense that there was kind of this instant analysis. Oh, Mueller is trying to undercut the president. Doesn't seem to me like it was undercutting him at all. Seemed like it was sending a very direct message about the forensic intensity on the cyber side of this investigation and what it's learned and what it can establish and would intend to establish in a court of law, if given the opportunity. I don't think it's going to arise because I don't think these Russians are going to get extradited. But if they are, and there's a chance for this to be aired in the court of law, the forensic evidence is absolutely laid out in that indictment. I thought on the question of meddling, it strengthened all of America, whether the president wanted to apply that strength or not. And that was what I was referring to before about these institutions speaking on their behalf, whether the president chooses to do so or not.
Mr. Trump's Wild Ride is coming out in just a couple months. The Takeout podcast is great work on CBS and his kindness to join us a lot of times for nonsense. We had no time for that today. Major Garrett from Helsinki. We'll watch you tonight. Travel safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Chad. Thank you very much.
The great Major Garrett. It is 51 past 12. That is our Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with Infinity by Marvin Windows. All right, so here is the plan the rest of the way. We got another good guest on Russia. William
Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin. I'm begging you. Tomorrow we're having the former Russian ambassador back on the show. The public demands it.
Yes, they're clamoring.
The public, there's a man in law enforcement I know who loves when we have, yes, when we have top level, loves when we have the former ambassador on. So we need to do that tomorrow. But William Pomerantz from the Wilson Center on Russia, he's going to join us at 1:35. Arnie Carlson is going to join us because what else is new? He just blasts Eric Kaler, but it's good stuff. We're going to include plenty of texts and calls. Did you tell me what time to stop talking, by the way? Maybe you did. I got a solid 45 minutes of sleep last night. So it's the drooling's going to start rather soon. We are going to go with overrated, underrated, properly rated after Keyword for Cash. We're going to read some of your texts when we come back at 103. Would you like me to stop talking right now? Oh, Lindsay's saying we can babble longer. What do we got? Oh, we've got – no, I did Linda's. We've got 258.05.
Speaking of drooling and sleep, do you drool when you sleep? Are you a big drooler?
Not that often. Now, you had the big sweating problem.
Yeah, that's
when
gone away,
sleeping.
Although last night it came back, but that was because I think I had a lot of salt for dinner. Boy, I found 3 New York strips, huge New York strips at Cub Foods for $22.
Did you put them in your pants like Winston did with the crab legs?
No. Well, after I cooked them, I did, but that's a different story.
We've known
I'll tell
that.
You the story coming up.
Oh, that's a tease. Stick around. Vladimir comes up later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.